This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. The shot is thrown. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman. He's John Senecal. And we are embarking on the regular season. It starts on Thursday. I know the home opener, the Sox start in Texas. The home opener is a week from Friday, which I will be there for. And are you going to try to make Red Sox opening day? Are you going to try?
I'm not sure if I'll make the actual opening day, but I will be going to plenty of games, Brian. My plan is to just, you know, monitor the game as of the day of. And if there's a ticket that's open, I'm probably just going to hop on it and go over to the game. Because yeah. You know me, I don't care. I don't care who's playing. I just want to watch some baseball.
Yeah. And the way, you know, when I first, when I was in college, the way Fenway was, you could literally just walk to the stadium and get a good seat. And that obviously changed with the new ownership group over the years and their success. But now the market's softened to the point where maybe it's a lot easier to do. But I am excited for baseball. I think the Red Sox, I don't know how it's going to pan out. And when we get to the players to watch type thing, I'll talk about that. I think there's still a lot. There isn't necessarily tension, but I think there's a real unknown about what is the best lineup to put on the field. I don't think they know. It's not like they have nine guys and like these are the nine guys, especially in the infield. There's a lot of moving parts. I mean, Christian Campbell made the team. A lot of people thought statistically he certainly didn't deserve it. But I think he came on, played a little bit better toward the end. And I think that the Red Sox are going to probably be one of those teams, even without injury, that are going to have like – in the first 15 games, they might have like 8 or 10 different lineups.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. But do you feel – I mean, let's talk about Campbell for a second because there's a huge – there's a lot of stock being put in this kid, right? He's basically he made a team when he shouldn't have made the team. Let's be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Let's be honest. And I think, you know, as a baseball fan and as someone who follows the game, and I'm following the Red Sox a lot more being up in Boston, I'm questioning if it's the right move. I'm questioning if it's, you know, Marcelo Mayer, who did not make the team, who arguably is a better talent right now.
Yeah.
Should probably have been the starting second baseman going into the season. Now, that being said, you have David Hamilton, I believe too. And, Vaughn Grissom is still in the mix, but, I question if it's the right thing to do for the Red Sox. When you have Mayer, who's been in the organization since 2021 and who's proven himself at every level and by all accounts is ready to do it, is this something that the Red Sox are thinking, if it doesn't work out up the middle between Story and Campbell, then we have Mayer waiting in the wings to take over either position? I'm still scratching my head on this one, because if I'm the Red Sox and all the hype that's around the Red Sox right now, there is a lot of hype around the Red Sox right now as far as how the season's going to start. I would want to go into the season with the best team on the field, not a bunch of question marks, especially up the middle.
So, I mean, again, this is morphing right into the our second item on our rundown, which is the player to watch, because I had chosen Marcelo Mayer. And the thing is that he's starting in AAA. He's 22. He's capable at three positions, second, short, and third, although a huge majority of his starts in pro ball are at short, where Trevor Story is. And the thought is that, you know, he could be up. And if it's a service time thing, I think it's such crap. But if they're going to keep Campbell, then I don't know why it's a service time thing. But I think he could be up by the end of April, you know. And so he seems to be more ready than Campbell. I don't really know what the logic is, but, you know, I go back to like someone like – look at Volpe and how he struggled out of the gate mightily, right? And he might have even gone down before he came back up and then stuck. I don't remember.
Well, Volpe won the job. He had an exceptional spring training. He was not supposed to be the shortstop for the Yankees.
And he struggled.
He struggled, but he stuck. He stayed. He just cleared the 200 mark in his first season, but he's went up since. But I get your point saying I just wonder again if – you're not going to move Trevor Story, right? His contract is his contract. The guy that's going to be the odd man out if he's not playing well is Campbell, right? He will be the first person.
He has to play short? It's in his
contract. No, he doesn't have to play short. I'm just talking his money, like his money, his uncertain ability. Like, you're not going to just all of a sudden trade Trevor Story, open a position. Like, the only way Trevor Story is not going to start is if he gets hurt.
I don't understand why the conversation isn't Story at second, Mayer at short, and Bregman at third. Like, I really don't kind of get it, because that seems like the best lineup. But A, no one's talking about it and putting it out there. So I'm a little confused. I don't know enough about Christian Campbell. I feel like they're setting it up for him to play and then get sent down and call Mayer up. I don't really even know him.
I worry if they're setting him up to fail. I really do. He struggled in spring training. And you know, say what you want about the last couple of games. They were playing very amateur talent down in Mexico. So you take the stock in that you want. I think it's a bad move. But again, you never know. I mean, the Red Sox, obviously, they know more than I know, or at least maybe they're putting stock in more than I know. So we'll see how it pans out.
I mean, listen, Mayer hasn't been above AA, and so maybe it's just a good idea to just get him some at-bats in anonymity before he comes up. I mean, I think that as much as maybe they're mismanaging the one kid, they might be managing well the other kid. Maybe Christian Campbell's not being managed well, but Mayer maybe is. And I don't know who's the bigger long-term star or not. I mean, Campbell's got, I mean, he looks the part. I mean, he looks great out there. You know what I mean? He just looks good.
And he has been playing some outfield too. I think he had a couple starts in right field.
You know what? Being 6'3" and all, he probably projects more to the outfield than a second baseman. But, you know, I think Mayer could be the next big thing. I don't know what kind of makeup and kid he is so much. I know he was such a highly touted pick. I don't know if he's got a Betts kind of constitution and, you know.
Just, so I listened to some MLB guys talking about Mayer, and they were talking about how they were down to spring training around the cage with him. And they said he has a different presence around him. You know how you just kind of, you know, you just.
He's got that it factor.
He's got the it factor. He looks, he feels, he carries himself like a superstar. That's what they say. And without doing it, without being the guy that's out there flashing.
Is that a negative then? You're saying it is?
No, total positive.
Yeah. I think that there's something about him that's different, and I think that he could be their next big star. I just think that they have to find a way to solve their infield problem. And even with Devers not in the mix, it's still a problem, if you understand. There's too many people who are there and ready to go, because Mayer is going to be a major leaguer this year. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. So the question is, where does he go and how? And if I was going to just sit there and with my far less intuitive, intellectual, and data-driven mind, I would think Story at second, Mayer at short, and Bregman at third. I would. And so we'll see what happens. What about you? Who's the guy on your team?
All right. So the Yankees, we all know the pitching woes going into this season, and it's a good thing that Max Fried is on the team. We talked about that last episode. So I'm going to talk about the one great feel good story is the catcher, right? JC Ascara, who made the team, who, you know, if you follow the Yankees, he's the former Uber driver and substitute teacher, who's approaching 30 years old. And, he showed out, right? He's been in the minor leagues for a long time. The Yankees picked him up before the 2024 season, gave him a minor league deal, and he did great. 261, 12 home runs, 64 RBIs across Double A and Triple A. Those are good numbers for Double A and Triple A. Then he went into winter ball and played in the Dominican League, and he won the batting title. Then he came to the Yankees spring training and showed he won the rookie in the best rookie in camp, and he got a spot on the team. And you know, the cool thing about it is,
what's his baseball, name again?
JC Ascara. Yeah. He's, and the good thing is, like, he came into the majors, he got drafted, and he was a catcher, and they turned him into a utility player, basically outfielder, infielder, catcher. And once he fizzled out and went into the independent ball, he went back to what he knew, catching, right? And that's a great way to make it back to the major leagues. Everybody wants catchers, right? Yeah. So that's what brought him back to the major leagues. He focused on his catching, he caught on, and you know, Cashman found him. Someone found him with advanced scouts or whoever found him. So it worked out for him. But the cool thing here, Brian, is, you know, in spring training, we always get to see these you made the team things, right?
Yeah.
And those are awesome. And, you know, Broom brought him in and he called his mother. And his mother and him, he was crying. And so you just know it's a great moment. It's cool to see. And it's great for these people. And the Astros just had one with Cam Smith, their big rookie prospect who made the team. And his mom came in and into the locker room. The Astros brought him in. So those are the cool things about baseball, yeah. Brian. I love that part about it, and especially this time in spring training. So let's get back to the Yankees. My thing about the Yankees is two things.
Can I say one quick thing before you do
that? Yeah.
With a guy like that, the reason why, if he's approaching 30, I think it's such a cool thing on top of all you said, is that he's taking a spot from a young kid who they put a lot of investment in, a lot of resources. It shows you how much they must like him to have given one of 25 to him. Like, I think it's almost like you almost undersold how crazy an opportunity it is for him.
And not only that,
he's on the New York freaking Yankees.
Yeah, not only that, Brian, he's also basically – the Yankees are carrying three catchers pretty much. So they, you know, they have Austin Wells. They have Ben Rice, who will be basically their third catcher, and Ascara, who will back up Austin Wells. Now, everything points to Austin Wells probably playing, you know, 60% of the time. But again, remember, he is a left-handed bat too. So, it's going to be interesting to see how the Yankees play it out, as far as playing time. But a great story. Good to see. And, you know, more power to him. Hopefully he's on this team the whole season. You know,
yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Continue.
Oh, so the New York Yankees, I'm going to point to two players. I'm going to point to, Jason Dominguez, who obviously a lot of pressure on him, right? He's going to have to fill some huge shoes. I'll say he has to fill some Juan Soto shoes. He has to fill a huge expectation shoes, and he has to play the outfield, the new position. So he is my half X factor for the Yankees, and my other half X factor for the Yankees will be Cody Bellinger. Awesome spring. All the talent is there. 2019 NL MVP. When he's on the field, when he's healthy, he's an exceptional player. Now, why I say he's my second X factor for the Yankees is because he's going to be batting behind Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And we all know, listen, Aaron Judge won the MVP last year with basically a whole slew of people batting behind him, right? So Aaron Judge can do basically anything, but if he has someone who's producing behind him, a left-handed bat at Yankee Stadium and throughout the whole season, look out. That's now, all I got to say.
Didn't Judge have a tough start last year?
Oh, my God. April Judge. It was April Judge.
Well, what if he doesn't have a slow start? I mean, you know, his season could be gargantuan. The one honorable mention I had is going to make you chuckle because it makes me feel much less optimistic about the season. Is that, you know who the closer is for Boston, right?
Yeah, your boy, Aroldis Chapman.
So sad.
And your other guy, I guess, is what, Liam Hendricks, right? Who's coming off of like cancer and Tommy John and all sorts of slew of stuff. But if I'm a betting man, Brian, your closer will not be either one of those guys in September.
No, I really think that it's a really sad testament to the state. Because you know what? You can closers are easy to develop in the sense that you just take a hard thrower who is not a starter and just convert them. I mean, I always thought it was like the Moneyball folks never wanted to spend money on closers because you can find them.
And, yeah, but I feel like you got to have that mentality. There's so much
pressure. He doesn't
have
it. He sucks.
But the problem is he's been doing it for so long, and it's just like there's always going to be a job for someone that's a left-handed pitcher that stays on the field.
I just
that guy is probably going to be like 45 years old and still pitching in the MLB as long as he's healthy.
Solo Cologne. He's John Tentacle. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 188 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We had trouble finding it, but we did want to bring up briefly the Red Sox with Craig Breslow did a whole internal audit, and there were some job losses, but a lot of reallocation of resources, if you will. I didn't know that their baseball department was 275 people. Doge could do some damage in there. that's too big anyway. But it seems like they're even organizationally moving even closer to the being almost purely data driven. I don't know if you heard, because you're in Boston a lot now with your job. Do you listen to sports radio at all?
Not really. I don't listen to a lot of sports radio.
Are you familiar with the story about a young player talking to Jim Rice and one of the data front office folks telling Jim Rice not to talk to the player?
No. Yeah, I have not heard that.
I guess the story goes like Rice was talking about hitting line drives or something, and the guy went up to Rice and the player and said, like, please don't talk to him about how to hit. We have a systematic way of teaching it, and we don't want you talking to him. And to me, like, it was peak. You know, the sports radio guys had a field day with it, and for good reason, right? I mean, like, maybe you don't want Jim Rice, you know, teaching things that are against what you're trying to do organizationally with, the exit velocity and all, and launch angle and all that crap. But Jim Rice is Jim Rice. Let the guy do what he wants.
Do you really think, I mean, I have a hard time believing that a player is sitting up there with all that data running through his head on a 3-2 count in the eighth or ninth inning. I just think it all comes back to your feel for the game and what you think and your instincts and the sixth sense, even a sixth sense in your head. It's just how it's too quick.
You can change a swing. You can, because it's like golf. They practice things to the point where they get the muscle memory. And if you practice swing a certain way over time, you change your swing. Uh-huh. So if you change your swing for launch angle and all that stuff, that's going to really translate. And if you're working on launch angle, you're not working on, you know, hitting line drives over the second baseman's head.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you something, Brian. If every major league team or player still had a father around that could analyze their swing, that's still the best one. I don't care if they ever played or not. Yeah. If you grow up watching your kid play baseball and you can tell when their swing's right and their swing's wrong. It's just how it is. Yeah. They might not listen to you, Brian, but you can tell.
Max used to he used to always make contact, but he never learned how to drive the ball. He'd always just put it right into the ground. He very rarely struck out, but he never learned how to drive the ball.
So what's your take on this Breslow thing? It looks like they're dropping their scouting. So it looks like they went from 32 domestic scouts down to 22, and they dropped their international scouting down to 12. But their research and development is going up, and their medical is going up. So it looks like, you know, to me it seems like they got rid of some dinosaurs in the scouting department, and then they're looking more to, once they have the players, how do they keep them on the field, and how do they develop them?
Well, so I would say that I'm not like Moneyball to the core guy anymore. I think that they've rooted out intangibles, like you sort of said. Having said that, I do think that 25 years ago, scouting staffs were bloated and a touch overrated, right? So I think you need boots on the ground. I think you need eyeballs on kids. I just don't think you need one for every two states in the union. You know what I mean? And so I think that with video, and part of that, it's not Moneyball. Part of that is video, because of social media and video, you can get a look at a kid, really get a good look at a kid without going to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
Right. So then you look at the video of the kid and decide which kids are worth going to Tuscaloosa for. And I think that, so I think streamlining scouting departments is not saying, oh, we're full on Moneyball and we're not going to, you know, scout traditional ways. I think it just says we don't need them going to spending a week in one town watching five games of some kid. That's all. And so right. I think and I'm not saying that what they're doing is good or bad. I'm just saying that like a little bit of streamlining makes a ton of sense, especially if the architecture of their front office was, you know, 25 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, they're basically adapting to the technology and the time. So it looks like, you know, the Red Sox are splitting out their player development system into the R&D department is reorganized under four directors, a director of baseball sciences, director of baseball systems, director of baseball technology, and a baseball director of baseball analytics. So we got science, systems, technology, and analytics.
But isn't technology the overarching thread between all those?
It seems all of them.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I do think the training side of it and the health side of it is super important, especially as it relates to pitching. I mean, I think there's going to be – my sort of prediction is I think they have to find a way – like, you know, when they talked about some of the Japanese pitchers and what's his name from Seattle, Ichiro, those guys play long toss forever. And their arms don't break down as much. And I feel like there's actually a strange underuse thing with baseball throwing that's listen, pitching's violent. You're going to have pitchers get hurt as long as there's baseball games. But I feel like the delicate treatment of guys, I think they got to start working them out differently. But the bottom line is that to have more medical side of it and health side of it to keep people on the field is important because these kids are way more delicate than ever.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I think what these teams need to focus on, maybe the Red Sox are going to focus on it more, especially coming off of this Rafi Devers saga, is, you know, what are these players doing in the offseason? You know, technically, you know, an MLB player, you know, when you talk about, you know, they make a certain amount a year, they're like teachers. Like, they're only working a certain number of months out of the year. Basically, they say 8 months out of the year. So these other 4 months out of the year, yeah, you might have stuff in your contract, you can't play basketball, you can't ride motorcycles or whatever, but you basically do what you want to your body, you know, like you could be out smoking weed in Jamaica all year, you could be eating cheeseburgers the whole time. So it's, I wonder if there's going to be some sort of thing where there's going to be a direction in Major League Baseball, or maybe the Red Sox are going to start this, where they're going to start holding players accountable season long.
You know what?
All year round.
I thought the modern athlete was much fitter and was a 12-month engaged guy, but Devers didn't do squat in the offseason, so clear, and he was making 30 plus million. So.
Well, you think that these players would be smart enough to know that the only way they're going to be able to stay on the field and compete at this level is to stay in shape. But, you know, hey, listen, you get these fat contracts, next thing you turn into Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to, when you got the money coming in, you got security, it's very easy to get complacent.
Listen, let's whip through some things here. Let's just do – how about we save – let's save MVP stuff for next week. Let's just do picks for teams and World Series. How about that?
Okay, fine.
Because we don't have to make world MVP picks. I don't know. I want to split it up, and we're already a few minutes in.
Well, the MVP is – I mean, it's only one person each league. I mean, you're basically talking about three people in each league.
Fine.
So let's look at the AL. Who are we looking at the AL? Let's go and we'll talk about our teams to make the playoffs. You want to just do like, you want to do East, Central, West, or you want to just pick out? Let's do East, Central, West, and then our wild cards and then AL. I'll go first.
Okay, go.
All right. And this is going to surprise you, these picks. And so the AL East, I'm going to go with the Red Sox.
Wow.
The Central, I'm going to go with the Royals. The West, I'm going to go with the Rangers. And my three wild card teams are going to be the Yankees, the Tigers, and the Astros.
Wow, so no Baltimore.
No Baltimore. No Cleveland. No Minnesota. No Seattle.
Wow.
Do you want your ALs?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go Baltimore. And I'm going to go... Minnesota, and I'm going to go Texas, and I'm going to say the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Seattle.
Wow. Okay. So I feel like your bold pick there is, you got three bold picks, in my opinion. You got Baltimore, Minnesota, and Seattle. But you know, they're all well, could possibilities though.
Yeah, I mean, the Central's so hard for me because I just don't know. Like, I want Detroit to do well, but I don't know as much about the teams. I freaking hate Houston, right? I just hate them, so I don't want to pick them. And I want Seattle to do well, and so, but I do think the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs. I just don't think they're going to win the division. I really think the Yankees are going to struggle. I think they're going to struggle. And it's really strange, and it's going to be fun because Cashman's going to roll the freaking dice again at the deadline, mm-hmm. and it's going to be fun. I mean,
I think the AL East is going to be a dogfight. I think it's going to be one of these half gamers. I really do. Yeah,
I do too. So, I mean, and again, you know way more than me, but let's go to the NL now.
Okay, so you want to start or you want me to start?
I'll start this time. Listen, I don't know if you saw ESPN's power rankings, but they have basically, you know, three of the top five teams in baseball coming from the NL East.
Yeah. And
so, you know, they have.
It's got to be the Phillies, Mets, and Braves.
Correct. And, you know, the Central's got nothing. And out West, I think you have some. I mean, obviously the D-backs and the Padres are really good teams. And you have the Dodgers. So, I mean, I couldn't even tell you who's going to win.
So what do you got for the AL East? I mean, NL East.
I'm going to take the Mets. I like them. I'm into the Mets. All the money they spent to bring back Alonso. I don't know how Soto's going to do necessarily, but I just think that they're just too good. And I think the Braves are going to drop off a little bit. And I think the Phillies will be the second place team there. I don't know if all three will make the playoffs or not. Central, I don't freaking know. I mean, I like the Brewers, so I always pick the Brewers. I mean, I truly have no feel, you know, ever since sort of St. Louis has dropped off. And I just don't know the teams well enough. I think the Chicago Cubs will be okay, even though they're already 0-2. The Dodgers will win the West. So I think the problem is going to be that third wild card. You got San Diego, Arizona, and Atlanta and Philly. And I don't know. I really don't know.
You got to pick three. You got to pick three.
All right, so I'm gonna take Atlanta, Philly, and the Padres. And I think Arizona's going to be odd man up.
Okay. So you got Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, Atlanta, Philly, Padres. Right?
No,
Brewers. Sorry. Brewers. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go NL East. I'm going to go Phillies. Central, I'm going to go with the Cubbies. Again, the Dodgers in the West.
Say that again. Who in the East?
East, the Phillies.
Okay, Phillies.
Central, I'll go with the Cubs. The West, I'll go with the Dodgers. And my three wild card teams are going to be the Braves, the Reds, and the D-backs. I think the Reds are going to surprise. They fell apart.
So what about the Mets?
No Mets. I don't see them. I'm not putting them in. I feel like their pitching is not going to be strong enough. I think they got too many question marks on their pitching. I think they spent big on their fielding. Listen, the Mets, I feel like, have a lot of question marks, right? Alonso has to have a good year. He has to perform to protect Soto. If he doesn't perform to protect Soto, they're in trouble. Mark Vientos has to perform at the same level he did last year. Huge question mark.
Yeah.
Your pitching has a lot of question marks. Your bullpen has a lot of question marks. The Mets aren't as solid as you think they are. Yes, they spend. They'll do what they can to spend. But listen, the team on the field right now is what you're going to battle with. And I don't see it being as good as everyone thinks it is.
All right, let's do MVP real quick.
All right. So, how about who we have winning the whole chip?
Oh, geez. Of course. Why don't you go first?
All right, I'm going to go super bold here. Now I had the Royals and the Tigers both making the playoffs, so that's two out of the AL Central, and I had the Yankees and the Red Sox making the playoffs. It's two out of the AL East. I have the Tigers stepping up to the plate and making a run and going to the World Series against the Dodgers, and unfortunately, I have the Dodgers winning the World Series again.
Yeah, I'm going to take. I'm going to take Dodgers, I'm going to take Dodgers-Orioles. I want the Orioles to do better. They did jack squat in the offseason. They arguably got worse, but the window's closing. So I think they're poised to make a splash at the deadline if they're in the mix, and I think they're going to make a run.
So interesting that you have three teams four teams I have nothing of. You have Baltimore, Minnesota, the Mets, and the Brewers.
Well, I think you're wrong on the Mets. The others are debatable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, see,
it's interesting though, because you know, we all have kind of the same thoughts going through our head, because all the teams that you have in there, I contemplated. Yeah. Minnesota, I always feel like falls apart too much. The Brewers, I just don't think they're going to have the pitching after losing Corbin Burns. Jackson Chourio is a huge prospect. I think he's going to just be amazing. He's going to be fun to watch, but I just don't see him having it right now. They're just never that team that wants to spend and make it. So that's why I don't have them in it. I just don't. I feel like the Cubs have a pretty good team. They got Kyle Tucker. They're going all in this year. So I think they'll spend and they'll trade if they need to going down. So you got the Dodgers and I got the Dodgers, except you got the Tigers. I have the Tigers. You have the O's. Two bold picks though, Brian. Two very bold picks.
Yeah, I would agree. In terms of MVP, AL and NL, you might be surprised by one of mine, but I want you to go first.
All right, so on the AL, I'm going to go with the person who finished second in the MVP voting last year. I think it was second, right? Bobby Witt Jr. That's who I'm going with in the AL. And in the NL, I'm going to go with, I'm going to say his basically his counterpart in Cincinnati. He's a little bit taller, but he's just as exciting, Elly De La Cruz.
Yeah, he's a popular pick. I think ESPN had Ohtani, Tatis Jr., Elly De La Cruz, Soto, and so on down the line. They also had Bobby Witt Jr. I think it's going to be Aaron Judge. I think Judge is going to have an incredible year, that even if they say he's got backup this and that, I just think that I just think he's peak, and he's going to be – I think he's going to put up like 1930s and 40s type numbers. You know what I mean?
Well, if he doesn't have an April like he did last year, he could very well do that.
I think that it's hard not to pick Ohtani. I think Elly De La Cruz is a great pick. I'm not going to pick it. I just think Ohtani, with the lineup protection there, I just think that people can't avoid throwing him a couple strikes, and I think he's deadly. And if he pitches and pitches,
so bold question: how many starts does Ohtani make in 2025? Now, there's some talk that he might be back in May. There's other talk he might not be back till July. There's talk that they'll just wait and see how they're playing and if they even need to have him pitch and use him sparingly.
Yeah. I would set the over-under line at like 15.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Very good pick.
And then I think, obviously, I think they'd want to make, depending on injuries and so on, like imagine if he didn't pitch until mid, even like June, and was good, and maybe they use him as not as a first or second, but like as almost like a fourth or a fifth. And then you get in the playoffs. I mean, imagine if you had two bona fides and then you could put him in game three.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And a guy who has game three,
you'll have him in game seven. Right.
And no tax, and hardly any tax on his arm. If you just bring him back so slow and just very sparingly, that's what scares you about the Dodgers. They're so deep. They're so deep. They could literally lose four pitchers and still have a MLB caliber World Series rotation.
That's why I'm sort of, you know, there's a lot of reasons I'm not rah-rah baseball en masse. And one of the reasons is that the Dodgers are more than the Yankees ever were, in my opinion, in terms of like being so all in terms of overpaying, in terms of overstocking. I don't think Steinbrenner ever had a team like that. I don't think post Steinbrenner they've ever had a team like that. They've been great, but this team is ridiculous in LA, and it feels unfair.
Yeah, the Dodgers have definitely changed the landscape of baseball. And like you said, it's got the commissioner talking about it and everything. So that's a whole other conversation. But, man, the baseball season is starting. We'll see if it all pans out. If the money they're spending in the Queens and the money they're spending in L.A. is going to pay off in the end. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Great job, as always, John. This is episode 188. We'll see you at Fenway as well. A fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.